Thank you for tuning in to Hacks and Hobbies with your host, Junaid. We're visited by our amazing guests coming from all walks of life. We want to learn their story, their struggles, and their journey on how they got to where they are today. So stick around. Welcome back to Hacks and Hobbies. Today we've got a special returning guest, Dan Chinder. If you've been following the podcast for a while, you'll remember our first conversation where Dan shared his incredible journey from professional drummer to building a Drum Talk TV into a global media brand. That episode was one of our most talked about shows. Today we get to check back on his journey. Dan, welcome back to the show.
Junaid, thank you. So great to be back too.
100%. You know, it's an honor to have you here again. You know, we were just talking in the green room how long ago that was when we first met and we had the first recording. That was like 3 years and 1 month and 5 days, I think you calculated.
Exactly, yeah.
I was like, whoa, you're so good at math. And yes, that was a lot of fun. So let's pick up from where we were last time. When we last spoke, you were celebrating 10 years of Drum Talk TV and running your social media on steroids training. Since then, a lot has happened, I'm sure. Can you catch us up? What's changed in your world over the past years?
Wow, so many things. I'll start with the personal stuff first, because that's real fun for me. We've had a great grandchild who's a year and a half old.
Congratulations.
Thanks. We found out Friday that we knew for a few weeks we have a second great grandchild coming.
And
we found
out Friday, that's amazing.
It's a girl. And we've gotten one more cat, and maybe three of the dogs are new since we talked. We have four dogs, two cats. They're all rescues. We're real big on that. Mm. And they bring us a lot of joy. My wife is gone visiting a bunch of the kids and grandkids and the great grandson in Las Vegas right now. So I'm thinking of buying like 50,000 empty peanut shells and just spreading them all over the floor, because it's like a circus here. That's some of the personal stuff that's new. Business-wise, I'm still teaching and coaching and doing the content marketing training, social media training. Yeah. Drum Talk TV is still, I'm very grateful to say, crushing it in that area. We still reach about 100 million people a year online without paying for it. Mm-hmm. And so that's I love that we're able to still, with all the algorithmic changes and everything, we're still able to do that. I teach how we do that. And I work with everybody from solopreneurs and nonprofits to really, really big corporations. I'm doing a little less of that, but I'm such a glutton for punishment. I still make time because I love doing it. I love sharing the knowledge. Yeah. I do one free workshop a month. Drum Talk TV. We celebrated like 2 months before that, or let's see, it was 2022. So that next year, we had a big 10-year anniversary show in Las Vegas at a beautiful theater that ended up being the foundation for a documentary about our first 10 years. And that's that can amazing. Be found on. Yeah, it was really special. It was great. A lot of fun. Right after that, shortly after that, a few months after that, we started developing what is now a living, breathing thing. And it's our membership site. Mm. And our membership site and Drum Talk TV, period, is not just for drummers. It's for music fans. So the membership site we created has really unique experiences like live stream concerts and virtual theaters, fan Q&A sessions with big artists, record executives and producers in 3D environments where you don't need special headgear or anything. You can access it on a mobile device or whatever, anything with an internet connection, and a bunch of other fun things that are part of that. So that's, we spent about 2.5 years building it and developing it, scrapping some ideas, and you know, that whole period of mind melting fun. And now we have finally launched it and building it up, and it's a lot of fun. It's at drumtalktvbrilliance.com if anyone wants to check it out. In fact, can I give out a code for everyone who
of course sees this? We'll definitely put it in the chat or in the
let me find the exact, so I don't mess this up and get yelled at by someone on my team. It's DTTVBDanFree. All one long, all caps, DTTVBDanFree will get everybody a free year. No strings attached. That code will zero it all out for our first level of premium, which is the only paid level we have right now. We do have a free level as well, but this will give them access to everything.
That's so generous, Dan. Thank you so much. Sure. Now you've talked about, you know, how you've grown, how you created that documentary, and cannot wait to send people over there. Talk to me about, you know, what are some new strategies or discoveries you've made in content marketing? Because you said you spent 2 years in building this membership site in this almost like a community site, because you've always been a community for many, many years, but now it's a specific place people can go to. So talk to me some of the new discoveries or strategies that you're implementing.
Sure, thanks. And we refer to the membership site as a virtual playground for all types of music fans. Yeah. And what's great about it is, what problem does it solve, right? It's away from all the stuff on social. There's a lot of gaslighting. There's a lot of competition. There's a lot of political polarizing. There's a lot of racial polarizing. There's a lot of, you know, you name it. People will fight about it, argue about it. It's away from all of that. That's why we created it, so that people can just even get away from the argument at the dinner table if you need a place to go and have some fun. But as far as new strategies in content marketing, there was a period of time where we made sure that all of our video content that we curated or created was 3 minutes or longer. And the reason why is because our biggest following is on Facebook. We're on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Vimeo, and X. We're playing with TikTok, but there's been some big changes with TikTok that it just might not work for us. In fact, I'll tell you that real quick because it's a discovery. On our, most of our content has our logo in the corner. Mm-hmm. And TikTok's AI, and here's an example of how this stuff doesn't always work right. Yeah. TikTok's AI is interpreting our logo as a QR code, which you're not supposed to put in videos. Right. And so everything we put up gets flagged, and it's like such a headache because there's no real person to chat with. And it's like, I think maybe we just might walk away from Hemhawk. I'm going to start calling it. So going back to the 3 minute thing and our largest following, almost 4 million people on Facebook alone, they offered monetization for videos that were 3 minutes or longer. So we wanted to jump on that bandwagon, right?
Yeah, please.
I had a rule. And when people would submit videos through our portal, when fans would submit videos, we'd tell them they have to be 3 minutes or longer. We don't care. Well, I mean, we care.
Yeah.
It's okay if people don't watch the whole video. The point is that that's the only way that piece of content would qualify for the monetization. Now that's not the case. Now that's not.
They reverse back on that.
Yeah, it can be shorter and it still qualifies. And I think they got smart and realized that people's scroll habits are a lot quicker than 3 minutes. Mm-hmm. And there's great stuff that's 3 minutes, half an hour. Our interviews are almost an hour long.
Yes.
So someone likes what they see, no matter what it is, if it's part of their interests, if it's if it edifies them, if it makes them laugh, if it educates them, if they learn something, they'll watch it.
to watch it. Yeah.
But that's a big thing. So we do a lot of, like, a lot of our marketing pieces that we created for the membership site are between 15 and 30 seconds. They're not even a minute. There's a set of them that touches on a few of the features that's like between 45 and 50 seconds. And that's it. So that's quite different than how we were doing things 3 years ago, let alone 5 years ago, let alone 10 years ago as well. Video is still king, though.
Yes, it is.
I don't know why some people argue with me about that, but they argue with me about a lot of things, but I gently remind them, I don't know. We reach 100 million people a year. I think we're doing something right. And we're not, anyone can reach that if they pay enough money, but we're not doing that.
Yeah,
so
paying enough money, yeah.
That's one of the big things. One of the biggest discoveries that I love sharing and that I made long before you and I met, but it's still the same, and I don't see that it's going to change, is that everyone, unless they've learned this from me and they've implemented it, and this is the craziest thing anyone will hear me say about marketing, and they'll disagree and they'll throw soup and tomatoes at their video screen, whatever. Everyone's got the whole hashtag thing wrong. I call it the hashtag hustle. My hashtag is hashtag don't hashtag, just a hashtag, because that's what people do. And the biggest problem in marketing is, other than the hashtag thing, which I'll get back to, the biggest problem in content marketing and marketing on social is everyone's doing what everyone else is doing because that's what everyone else is doing. So they think it's the right thing to do.
They're just thing to do. Monkey see, monkey do.
Yeah. And just because something says trending doesn't mean it's going to work for you. And here's an example. Mm-hmm. Let's say 400,000 people across Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, X, those alone. 400,000 people, maybe 100,000 on each. Let's just pretend.
Sure.
On Monday, use the hashtag Motivation Monday on one post. That's 400,000 posts out there.
Yep.
What makes people think their post is going to ride some magical wave just because it's a popular hashtag? Google the hashtags you're using and see what comes up. Chances are your hashtag won't come up if you're using a common hashtag, especially if you do it on a device where you did not, let's say I created it on my PC and I search it here. Of course, it might show up on the device I created the content because it's cached.
Yeah. But
chances are it still won't. So what I learned a long time ago is we started branding our hashtags, and that separates our crap from everyone else's crap. Because our crap is our crap, okay?
Yeah.
So an example, the way this came to mind was we cover this music event almost every year called the NAMM Show, N-A-M-M, the National Association of Music Merchants. 150,000 people from all over the world come to it for 4 days. And they take tons of pictures, tons of video, and they're all hashtagging it the same. They're putting hashtag NAMM or hashtag NAMM Show, maybe hashtag NAMM Show with the year. Sure. We put DTTV in front of that. DTTV NAMM 19, DTTV NAMM 20. It separates all of our content from everyone else's. If someone wants to Google or search on YouTube or Facebook hashtag NAMM Show, that's fine. It'll bring up everything that was ever posted on the internet with that hashtag. However, if they see hashtag DTTV NAMM 20, it'll only bring up our content and only from that year. And it also makes it easy for us to search our own content and see what's performing better. Is it because of who was interviewed? Is it the audio was crap on that one because 200,000 people or whatever are pulling off of the Wi-Fi at the same time?
Yeah.
You know, there's so many different factors. So to brand your hashtags is how to win with hashtags. Otherwise, you're just helping the platforms. You're not helping yourself.
Wow, Dan.
And I know it's crazy. And people will argue with me, but I'm telling you, it works. It works.
I think what you're explaining to me is folder organization. Like when you're filing away your stuff in your filing cabinet, you're filing it under specific areas. Like you're specifically... Right. Filing properly, you're organizing your folders on your computer. This is the event, right? So when you use a specific hashtag for each of the you know, different hashtag for different event, then yes, of course, it's going to show up and it's going to be more valuable for people searching because it's very specific to that event. And maybe that's not the only hashtag you're using. Maybe you're adding additional hashtags to it as well, right? So you have a hashtag soup maybe, or maybe you have 4 or 5 hashtags as a max. I don't know. What's the rule on using maximum hashtags?
There's two things. One, when someone starts to type their own made-up hashtag, they'll see a notification. They'll see it's been used less than 1,000 times. Mm-hmm. That doesn't matter. Ignore that. Right. That doesn't matter. The platforms want you to use common hashtags so that people keep seeing and seeing and seeing, which means ads get played, which means they get results, which means they'll pay the platforms more money again.
Exactly.
So we use typically no more than 3. Most often just 1, often no more than 3. And one of the reasons why, like, I see people that have like 7 to 15 generic hashtags. Why would you create that many other places for people to click and go off of your content, let alone your channel? It just doesn't make any sense. It's funny that Instagram, I think it is, allows up to, well, last time I looked this up, allowed like up to 20 hashtags. Yet often if you use 20 hashtags, they squash the reach saying it's digital littering. Well, then why do they allow? It's like so messed up. And people don't know because most people won't take the time to learn.
Yeah. My God, this is hilarious. And it's so true. People are, you know, like you mentioned, they're doing monkey see, monkey do. Oh, this might work. And then this funny thing is people were actively teaching that. Oh, you got to have this many hashtags. You got to have this many hashtags as well, which is hilarious because they haven't done the work themselves, but then they're like, oh, you got to have more hashtags because you're going to attract more views. But you don't want more views. You want more targeted views on your content that's going to convert into a better action. For example, I watched for 6 months YouTube videos on beekeeping. I was very specific on what I wanted to learn about, right? And then the last video that I watched told me, hey, once you're done watching all this video, if you really want to become a beekeeper, go to a local beekeepers association. That was a call to action for me that I then took and became a beekeeper, right? So
That's so fascinating.
It's exactly what, I mean, got me started into this podcasting space was beekeeping and documenting that journey. But as you said, you know, the more specific you are, the more deep people can go with your content, the more educated they will become, right?
Yeah.
Better in that space.
And you want video views, and hashtags aren't going to give you video views. The quality of the first 10 seconds of your video is going to give you video views. Nothing else. You want video views. You want length of time watched.
Yeah.
You do want them to follow the call to action. You know what our number one call to action is that we use? Mm-hmm. It's sending people into our videos album of whatever channel that is. Typically, that's Facebook and YouTube because there literally is either a playlist on YouTube. There are playlists on Facebook, or we just drive them to the videos album so that they get lost in this, not lost, but enjoy this sea of all this other content that even if they've been following us 5 or 12 years, no one sees everything. And some people still think that just for round number's sake, if I have 1,000 followers, everything I post goes to 1,000 people. No, it's never worked like that and it never will. But that's why you want an owned audience, which means people who sign up for your email list versus an earned audience, which is on your social channels.
Dan, I love the fact that you're sending people back to your own videos because you're doing two great things, right? One, you're keeping them engaged into your video, in your content. Number two, the platform is then rewarding you because you're keeping the people on the platform, right? So you're keeping people on YouTube, you're keeping on Facebook, and they're like, hey, this guy, every time he posts a new video, he keeps the people on the platform. They go watch other videos on our platform. We can show different ads and whatnot.
Right. And then, you know what that does?
Yes.
It gives us more distribution so that our content does get to more people. And that feature of sending people there, it's not just for new people, but we do want new people to do that because yeah. there's people that have been following us for 5 years that don't know we do documentaries. They just, for whatever reason, it never yeah. crossed their feed
yeah.
or whatever.
Yeah.
So if we're new people, they're like, oh my gosh, they do interviews, they do documentaries, they mm-hmm. cover events, they curate content from fans. I can send in a video. Oh, they got a membership site with music themed exactly. game shows. They got all the, and it's a way to just, it's kind of the next step before you take them off that platform and exactly. into your membership site as yeah. a member.
I love that.
And you one know, will never replace the other. That's not our
no,
intent.
It will not. You got to have both platforms because we all go to the grocery store to buy groceries. So, right. you know, that's a rented space or you'll go to, a, you right. know, but then you're the people might want to come visit your home or, you know, might want to come visit to an event that you're doing, so you're absolutely right. They all exist together, and yeah. keep the community, you know, becoming fresher and fresher, bringing new
it's
people.
It's all part of your ecosystem.
The ecosystem. That's right. That's right.
Yeah, social is really the top of the funnel.
You're right.
That's where you're going to find your
people. Talk about funnels. They're like, "Oh, I'm mm-hmm. building a funnel." I'm like, "Well, what are you doing with the funnel that you already have for free?" Instead of
yeah, exactly.
going and building a brand new funnel.
Exactly. Oh my God. And when people say, I have to say this, when people say, let me think of an example, like, oh, I don't like Facebook because it's too political. It's all who you're connected with. If you don't exactly. like it, change the channel within change that channel. Platform. Yep. Disconnect from those people. TikTok mm-hmm. personally is my favorite as yeah. a consumer. But we're on Facebook. We have been mm-hmm. from the beginning. If for some reason we've really been able to work that algorithm and have such great engagement, such great growth, we grow yeah. by about 4,000 new followers on Facebook a month. My brain was short circuiting. Sorry about
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
but yeah, it's you can't look at it like that. And you gotta post content for your following. Mm-hmm. Like Drum Talk TV was never meant to be the Dan Schindler show. It's not just my favorite artist. It's not just yeah. my favorite music. It's so way, way beyond that. Yeah. In fact, I've not made this announcement publicly, but we're gearing up in about 3 weeks. We're going to start having my team, there's nine of us. And we're going to start planning. We don't have a name for it yet, but
sure.
for all intents and purposes, it's a talent search. And we're going to find 6 new VJs. I'm going to start stepping back. I will still yeah. do a good chunk of the interviews, but we have 4 original series and a That's fifth good. One coming out and a sixth one that we're planning. And I'm the co-host of all those. It was me and, yeah. and someone else. And I'm going to step out of all of those. So I've already done that with our news desk report, which mm-hmm. is every Friday. We talk yeah. about what's new in Drum Talk TV, what's new in the membership, what's happening in the music industry, mm-hmm. things like that. I don't do that anymore, except I did it this last Friday because
sure.
The young lady who does that was moving. So I said, okay, I'll step in and do it. And then the way the stars aligned or not, we didn't have a guest. We do a guest host that gets booked every week, and it's usually mm-hmm. an artist or something. So yeah. my son jumped in and did it with me, nice. Who's our producer, Stephen. Yeah, he's the youngest of our blended family of 11 kids. He's 8 years old, but he's God. Really, no, he's going to be 31 in November. So it was fun to get back and do that with him, actually.
This is so cool. You know, I see so many moving pieces, but you're keeping it all together in a cohesive fashion, you know. And what really stood out from your earlier interview was how you grew that global audience without ads or SEO, just pure organic strategies. The same thing that we talked about just the past few minutes is how you're organically growing on whichever platform you might be. And yeah. when you mentioned, you know, you love visiting TikTok and how they present the content based on what you've been already watching, right? So yeah. they've given that feature a word, like they call it the For You page, but it's essentially right. interest-based graph, right? So interest-based.
Yeah.
And what's cool is that every single platform including Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, YouTube, are adopting that platform. So there's a ton of people that are talking about, oh, I just launched a brand new YouTube channel and I've got 1,000 subscribers within a month because they're creating very interest-specific content. And YouTube, of course, is rewarding because, like, hey, you're keeping the people on the platform. Here's some more distribution. Here's some more people. Here's some more distribution. And you've been doing that for ages. So I love how you've, you know, brought it all together and teaching it to, again, people around you.
Thanks.
Now, can you break down what it means for creators and entrepreneurs when you talk about succeeding beyond the herd mentality? And I think we touched upon it a little bit on don't use this hashtag, be very specific. So let's go a little deeper.
It's funny because I have a graphic and it has sheep. It's like a cartoon. Mm-hmm. There's sheep following each other over a cliff. And the one that's falling, there's a dialogue bubble that says, I was just doing what the last guy did, you know, because that's what's going on out there.
Yes,
so is. Number one, what does give value mean? You have to give value. And another mistake a lot of people make if they're on any of these platforms for business sake, mm-hmm. is that all they're doing is advertising. This is my thing. This is for sale. Here's a coupon. This is my thing. This is for sale. This is for sale. Or here's my thing. Here's an event. Here's a come to my thing. Here's my thing. Buy my thing. Buy my thing. Buy my thing. If all you're going to do is advertise, no one's going to follow you. You have to give people a reason to follow you. I think I got a cat hair in my eyelash or something. You got to give people a reason to follow you or all your advertising is for naught. So I tell people 70 to 80% has to be community building content. 20 to 30% is here's my thing. This is what it does.
Yeah.
Here's how to get it. And the community building content, some people really get stuck on that. And it's one of my favorite things to teach. The reason they're stuck on it is because, well, but I got on social to advertise my business. I get that. But who's going to listen to a radio station that plays 55 minutes of commercials and then one song and then 55 minutes? That's what you're doing when that's people do that. Yeah. So there's always value you can give. Mm. And so I'll use some examples. This is from my course. I'll say, let's say we all had an Audi dealership. Wow, that'd be fun. Let's say we each had one. Maybe there's 10 people in the course, right? Yeah. Yeah. And I say, what could we post about that does not say, come down to the lot this weekend. We got the hot dog guy in the face painting. Bring the kids. This is on special. What could we post about that would get people to follow us? So that when we post that, there's people present that'll see it.
Yeah.
And their face turns into a question mark. So I get the ball rolling. I say, how about some DIY stuff like how to clean your interior? What if it's leather? What if it's cloth? What if it's vinyl? Mm-hmm. What about the flooring? Like, oh, okay. I go, what else? What else? What else? Tire maintenance, how to check your, safety. How to choose car seats. And then I had a Ford dealership I was working with, three of them actually. Yeah. And I was doing this and I said, show them how to do an oil change. And this guy stood up in the back of the house, excuse me, we don't want them to know how to do that. We want them to come down to the dealership. I said, I promise you, if you show how messy it can be doing that, they're gonna get a ticket on the way to the service. They're like, oh. So then I talk about a horticultural center. I don't know why my hand's up. I forget it has that recognition. Okay. I grow flowers to keep me off the news. Okay. And I do container gardening. So horticulture is something I'm really into. So what if we had a nursery? What could we talk about other than what's on sale? Roses are on sale. And people are getting like, oh man, I thought I had this down with the car dealership. I said, how about landscaping tips? How about how to choose pollinating flowers that attract bees? I know Junaid's going to want that. He's a beekeeper, you know, different. And they're like, oh. And then I said, I can teach you how to do this for anything, anything. And one smart aleck, I'll say, want to watch my mouth. My wife reminded me before I came on. She says, hi, by the way. She said, wear your filter, wear your language filter. I'm like, I know. And one guy, a smarty pants, said, what if it was a pooper scooper company? How would I? And so now I've incorporated that into my course. And I show a slide with a young lady. She's kneeling down with her dog, and her car is wrapped with a pooper scooper branding and everything. I said, so what if we did have a pooper scooper company? Yeah. And for $40 a month, we'll come every week and blah, 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 you know, whatever. And they're like, they thought they had it down from the other example. I said, the answer is in the image. Mm-hmm. And someone said, the dog? And I said, yeah, dog tricks, post-dog tricks. How about dog diets? How about what dogs go with other dogs? What dogs go with cats? How to socialize dogs and cats? And I just rattled off all this stuff, and then they get it. So the community building people will bring them. They'll keep them watching and following your channel. Mm. And that way you have a present audience when you do drop something in front of them that is your podcast, the honey you're selling from the beekeeping, or whatever anybody's business is that's out there. And it can work and will work. If you do it the way I teach it, it will work for any business or even a nonprofit.
It makes total sense, Dan. It makes total sense, because what you're talking about is connecting to the human level of other human beings. Right?
Yeah.
Come buy my shit. That's what it is.
Yeah.
You don't need to talk about that, because people already know that somebody's selling something.
Yeah.
It's all about who are you? How am I going to connect with you? And all of those things.
Exactly. I'm sure, like me, you and everybody watching and listening gets way too much spam messages on LinkedIn, too much spam email for lead gen, to build an app, my feet are up on my desk just waiting for someone to write me to build a website, because I'm too stupid to go look for someone if that's what I need.
Exactly.
Like, it just blows my mind that people refuse to learn how to market, and they just figure it's a numbers thing. And if I piss off enough people, a couple idiots will give me some business. Like, I just don't get it.
It's crazy. Dan, this has been mind-blowing. I love the conversation, and it's reminding me of why we are on social media. We are on social media to socialize. Come on, how do you socialize? When you're literally at a dinner party, you don't go to everybody and say, like, hey, I'm selling this. No, right. We talk about, hey, how are the kids doing? How's the weather? I've got this new car. You know, you talk about things and people get interested. Yeah. And then you go into, this is what I do. Unless you're going to a networking event, then it's different. Yeah. Now,
but you're something, right.
Yeah, right. So that's what I got out of it. And it's such a great reminder too, Dan, is just be yourself.
Yeah.
People here, they're following you because of who you are, not what you're selling.
Yeah.
Right? They're 100%. Buying you.
And the value you give.
Yes.
You need to create brand love, brand trust, likability, and then they will buy from you. You're not going to build any of that just from advertising. Mm-hmm. You're going to build that by being, like you said, being authentic, by giving info away, being valuable, showing them that what you have for them works, whether it's a service, knowledge, a trinket, or whatever. It all works the same way.
It does.
It's just in a different suit, if you will. And and join local groups. We belong to, so we moved, you know, that we live in a very small community up in the mountains, 100 miles east of Phoenix. We moved here to kind of get away, to tell you the truth. We were living in Las Vegas. I went there by way of growing up in Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. Enja went there by way of growing up in the North Bronx. And then we eventually met. And I met her 3 months after I moved there. How cool is that?
That's really cool. Only
5 months I was ever single in my life. that's another story. But we joined the local group, which is cool in a small community, because you learn what's going on, the who's who to avoid, who to connect with. And I use it for things like, if I hear a bunch of sirens and we're right on the highway, if I hear a bunch of sirens and I keep meaning to buy a, what are those first responder radios so I can hear everything.
Okay. Sure.
Yeah. Cause I'm nosy. My wife gonna give a shout out to Angel. My wife calls me nosy white guy, folks. Okay. All right. I'm just saying, I like to know what's going on in our community.
Yeah.
So I hear a bunch of sirens. I go right into the group and I wait and I look and I watch. And our friend, we're friends with the mayor, city council people, a good friend of ours retired a couple of years ago who was the fire marshal. We had an accident here at our house and he saw on the dispatch after he shortly after retired that our address is what they were responding to. So he called right away. Are you guys okay? What happened?
Yeah.
All this stuff. So I go into the group for that, but I also go in, we check like yard sales and stuff like that. I saw a big dog running down the street just yesterday, I think it was yesterday or day before, on the sidewalk, dragging this like 8-foot leash behind it. I pulled over real quick and I put it in the group. There's a big sheepdog traveling north on Highway 60. It just passed Smoke Street Barbecue. Someone get it. It's got a red leash, you know, and I see it kind of blows my mind that every day I'll see someone post a picture of a dog that's in their yard that's not there. I don't know how I'd lose my brain if any of our dogs got out or our cats. I just would lose my mind.
How are they doing this? Yeah. Maybe they're in the Zoom meeting and they forgot.
Yeah. And those people have kids too. That's what's scary. Wow.
That is scary. Like,
if you can't even keep track of your dog.
Anyway. Then something else that I admire about you is how you're balancing running your businesses with a huge family life, right? You've mentioned gardening. You mentioned your 11 kids blended family. You've got grandkids. Did you mention great grandkids also? Oh my
God. So we have 19 grandkids, a 1.5-year-old great grandson.
Oh my God.
And just found out that same granddaughter who had him, we found out Friday, she's going to have a girl
in about a girl.
5 months. Yeah, right. So we're going to have 2 great-grandchildren.
How, like, this is so amazing because, you know, it's staying curious as a personal anchors. How do these habits keep you sharp as an entrepreneur?
I think, and I am not the best at this, but I know the information because my wife, thankfully, keeps drilling it in my head. It really is about balance. And sometimes I'm better at balance than others. And balance could mean taking a week off. I'm taking a week off Friday for a week, and I'm going to meet her in Vegas and spend some time out there. I'm going to have plenty of me time and plenty of time to also visit with kids and grandkids. So that's one thing, but not everyone can always take a week off. I can't. That might be the second or first week I've taken off this year, maybe. So I don't even know off the top of my head. Yeah, but other balance could be, like, I've got 2 dogs at my feet right now, and when I'm done with this, I'm going to get up, and I'm going to go outside with them, just get some air. Well, maybe not, because I told you it was 88 and it just started raining.
Yeah, so it's too hot.
But it's about getting out. I love my work environment. By the way, folks, Junaid gets a lot of credit for my work environment. That's where I got the LED lighting idea. And I got a quick sidestep.
Yeah.
I have remotes for them.
Ooh.
And I change them. I change the lighting to the color based on either what show I'm co-hosting, or if it's an interview, because they have different color themes.
Yeah.
Or if I'm on a sales call, I'll change lighting to the color of the other party's branding, and I'll wear a shirt that color too.
Oh my God!
And it just subliminally connects with them, right? Shh. So
that is genius.
So I'll get up and I'll spend time with the dogs. I'll poke around the garden. I grow nothing but pollinators. So there's bees, bumblebees, carpenter bees, horseflies, all kinds of moths and different butterflies. And then I'm real into getting out my iPhone. I do slow-mo macro photography where I'm doing slow-mo videos of the butterflies. And that's my balance. That's my break. A lot of people think it's going downstairs into my studio and just blowing my brains out at the drums, which I don't do enough of, according to my wife. I really need to make more time for that. I mentioned to you that she's been gone for about 3.5 weeks. So I've done it once since she's been gone because we got a new puppy. He's only about 4 months old and I don't want to freak him out or start chewing on the couch because I'm like, playing. Who knows? I don't know. Yeah. But that is an outlet. I have my hand instruments from the Middle East, North Africa. I've got some djembes from West Africa. Nice. I've got some Latin percussion. I got congas and 4 drum sets in my studio. 2 of the sets are always set up. So when I can, I make more time for that. Those are my big things. And I have a little greenhouse. I grow tomatoes and herbs and little things like that. Cause I can't always, it's really a challenge to get away. I take the dogs for, oh my gosh, I almost said the 4-letter R I D E word. I even have to spell it.
They're like, oh, they would have all been like,
yep, exactly. I do that like 3 times a day and they love that. It gets me out. And and that's my day-to-day balance. And next week will be a part family, part isolation. No one can find me or get to me. I go to a Korean bathhouse a few times. Maybe I'll go 3 times during that week that has the hot clay ball beds, hot clay igloo, the ice room, a sauna. It's got just a room with a big TV where you can just lay in a chair that vibrates and or just listen to music. So I'll go do that by myself for like 4 hours, maybe take one of my son-in-laws or a daughter.
So then what I'm hearing is that you got to have fun to stay sharp. Oh.
I don't do anything unless it's fun, including work. Right. And there are some elements, of course, like I'm not an idiot. Like I have to get with our attorneys, you know, and we go through all the mind-numbing corporate stuff that we're working on. I will find a way to make that fun. But of course, it's not like a fun thing like, hey, I'm going to get with the attorneys. Hey, you know, it's not like that. But I have to make everything fun or I'm just not into it. I'm just not going to do it. I'll clown around. I'll joke around with them or in meetings or something like the way I answered the Zoom call when we first got on today. You know, you got to have fun. Nothing is that serious. Nothing other than your health. And this balance is what we're talking about.
You know, Dan, this is a great reminder for me to get out in the open. And I do, you know, we spend time outside in our yard with the kids and I got to do more of it because actually I have done a ton of it because I'm barely in the studio. I'm only here when I'm recording the conversation. Otherwise, I'm outside with the kids. And that helps us keep sharp because you're engaging both sides of your mind, right? When you do you're able to do so much more work with so much more energy that it's absolutely, absolutely amazing. Thank you so much, man. This was fun.
Yeah. Absolutely. You got to have that balance throughout the day, not just wait till you get a vacation or something. You know?
Yeah, there's no such thing. Well, Dan, it's been amazing catching up and hearing how you've continued to grow, innovate, and inspire our last conversation. This is so, so fun. And, you know, I can't wait to continue to follow your programs and the teachings that you're doing. We'll be sure to include the links to your membership and all the things that you're working on in the show notes. Where can people go to get ahead of Dan right now?
They can go to advancedsocialmarketing.com. There'll be a pop-up where you can sign up for my email list. And for that, you'll get a PDF, which is called My 6 Steps to Daily Success, which will be 6 things that if you do them every day, it'll up your marketing game right away. No matter how much experience you already have, I promise, I guarantee it will improve what you're doing. Even if you have a degree in marketing, maybe especially if you have a degree in marketing, to be honest with you.
Exactly.
They can also get a hold of me through that website. I'm Dan at that URL on Drum Talk TV. Go to drumtalktv.com. That's our main website that's about to get a complete makeover. And our membership site is drumtalktvbrilliance.com. And I'm easy to find through messaging on Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, Vimeo, and X. It's at drumtalktv. So pretty easy to find.
Yeah, perfect. Well, we'll be sure to include all of those links below. And to our Hacks and Hobbies community, if you missed Dan's first episode, which was a couple years back, go back and listen to that one as the perfect foundation, then pair it with today's update to see the full arc of a story. Dan, thank you again for coming back and sharing your journey. And this was so much fun.
Yeah, always a pleasure, always an honor. I really appreciate it. And I want to thank everybody for putting up with me and watching and listening. Go try some of those crazy things I mentioned.
Yes.
You'll probably be surprised.
Yes, absolutely. Well, Dan, thank you so much again. Talk soon.
Thank you.
Guys, check out Drum Talk TV. Follow Dan's social media on steroid training. And as always, keep experimenting, stay curious, and keep hacking your way to success. Until next time, this is Junaid signing off, Hacks and Hobbies.
Thank you for listening to Hacks and Hobbies. You can find additional information on the guest today on their website, hacksandhobbies.com. Please feel free to subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss out on upcoming interviews with amazing guests.